is Hundley v. Aranas. And yes, counsel for the appellant, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Maggie McCletchie, and I'm counsel for plaintiff Ms. Jamie Deirdre Hundley. Ms. Hundley has been diagnosed with gender dysphoria. She was diagnosed over a decade ago, and she has struggled for over a decade to obtain medically necessary care from the Nevada Department of Corrections. While this case bears some obvious similarities to the last case on this court's docket, procedurally, where we are is very different. And that's that the district court, in a screening order, dismissed all of Ms. Hundley's claims with prejudice, disallowing her the right to amend, even on claims that were newly added in Ms. Hundley's first amended complaint. While none of Ms. Hundley's claims should have been dismissed, the most important question, in my view, before the court is whether it's impossible for Ms. Hundley to cure deficiencies in her complaint by amendment, whether the district court properly found so. The answer to that question, those questions, is absolutely not. And in holding otherwise, the district court had turned the applicable standards on their heads. The defendants who have appeared in this action also do likewise in their answering brief. The Prison Litigation Reform Act has a narrow purpose, and that purpose is not holding prisoners to an impossible standard, and as the district court and the defendants would have this court do. Instead, it is saving prison officials from having to respond to frivolous and abusive lawsuits by prisoners. Under the Prison Litigation Reform Act, when determining whether a complaint states a claim, the district court is supposed to construe the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, not the other way around. Yet, for example, the defendants would have you believe that Ms. Hundley has made admissions in her first amended complaint, and would have you believe that, have you assumed that defendants exercised, provided constitutional care. The district court and defendants also failed to be forgiving because plaintiff was pro se when she filed her first amended complaint. The district court and defendants also failed to consider facts in other causes of action. When you look at Ms. Hundley's claims, in fact, the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth claims are all interrelated and all provide details about the constitutionally inadequate care that Ms. Hundley alleges the Nevada Department of Corrections officials provided. Further, the district court and defendants failed to consider exhibits. In its second screening order, on this case, it rescinded an earlier screening order that allowed some claims to proceed and at least allowed Ms. Hundley the ability to amend. In its second screening order, the district court makes much ado of the fact that Ms. Hundley did not refer to the standards of care. But those standards of care were attached to the complaint because they were attached to grievances she attached to the complaint. Under federal rules 10C, that information should have been considered integrated into the complaint by the district court. Finally, in its drastic about phase from the order it rescinded, the district court never even addressed why it was impossible for Ms. Hundley to amend. A lot of time has passed. The district court sat on Ms. Hundley's complaint for about a year and a half before issuing, I think, its first screening order. A lot of time has passed. Ms. Hundley now has counsel, and she should certainly be permitted to amend her complaint, and this case should be allowed to proceed forward. With regard to the deliberate indifference claims, which are the most important claims at hand, obviously, and therefore what I'm going to focus on, it's beyond dispute, in my view, that Ms. Hundley has alleged a serious medical need. By definition, gender dysphoria means that a person who's diagnosed under the DSM-5, a person who has been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, doesn't just have incongruence between their assigned gender at birth and the experienced gender, they suffer distress from it. The Nevada Department of Corrections, as part of resolution of prior litigation, has apparently already recognized that Ms. Hundley suffers from gender dysphoria and that it's a serious medical need meriting treatment.
Can I interrupt you just to ask for a clarification of this claim? Is your client asking is she saying that I am entitled to the surgery now, or is she instead asking for the lesser remedy of I am just entitled to an individual assessment as to whether I should get the surgery?
Ms. Hundley believes she should have the surgery, but what she is asking for in her complaint is that she be assessed for the surgery. as what Ms. Hundley alleges, and pretty clearly so, is that the Nevada Department of Corrections had a blanket policy, and she has allegations regarding communications, I think, with defendant Aranis, who says she won't even be considered for SRS because the Nevada Department of Corrections has never done so, and because of a policy at the Nevada Department of Corrections. So there's two components to her deliberate indifference claim. Two important components. One is the SRS, and the other is the hormones. With regard to the hormones, her claim is that she got diagnosed by a specialist, she got prescribed hormones by a specialist, and her claims, and when you look at the allegations and all of the causes of action, because while she captions her fourth cause of action, for example, as a First Amendment retaliation claim, it includes detailed allegations regarding improper cuts to her hormones and improper treatment with regard to her hormones. So taken all together, with regard to her hormones, while defendants would have you believe that they're just properly assessing side effects, when you look at the allegations, what Ms. Hundley alleges is that they cut and or decreased the hormones at various times because of her reasons unconnected with medical care. And while defendants seem to think that some medical care means constitutionally adequate care, that is not the case. This court has held that where prison officials fail to follow a specialist order, for example, that care can be constitutionally inadequate. Ms. Hundley has alleged facts that reasonably inferred can be hostility towards Ms. Hundley, and that is guiding care rather than actual medical determinations. Further, it's important to point out, and I think the answering brief in this case suggests otherwise, it's not clear that Ms. Hundley has been diagnosed with actual side effects. In fact, what she alleges is that defendants at various times have said, well, I'm concerned that there might be side effects. But as we point to, the WPATH standards of care provide two important things on this point. First, that if some of the side effects don't come to pass in 2 years and Ms. Hundley has been taking hormones for more than 2 years, that those concerns should not be very serious. Yet that's a basis on which defendants have denied her hormones, so they directly violated the applicable standard of care. Second, while defendants make much ado of the fact, well, we can reduce these hormones because they could have side effects, the hormones that are given for gender dysphoria always contain the possibility of side effects. And to provide constitutionally adequate care, what providers are supposed to do is compare the health benefits, and this is in the WPATH standards of care in the appendix. What providers are supposed to do is do a risk-benefit analysis where they compare the benefits to the potential risks. And again, because Ms. Hundley had taken hormones for a significant period of time without side effects, it's hard to understand a legitimate basis on which Ms. Hundley was hormones were changed, reduced at some point, ultimately denied. I'll briefly just talk about
counsel.
Yes.
Before you move on, I have a question for you. On the question of whether the state, the prison, had a blanket policy that they would not do the SRS, would not do sexual reassignment surgery, but wanted to treat with hormones, what's your best case? Your best federal case in the Ninth Circuit that says that a prison cannot have a blanket policy like that, and that if there's a threat to some severe medical condition, they have to do an individualized analysis?
So certainly the EDMO case stands for the proposition where there is a serious need for SRS, prisons are constitutionally required to provide it. Other cases not specifically dealing with SRS, such as Caldwell v. Bannister, 763 F3D 1060, address blanket and categorical denials of medically indicated surgery. So this perhaps not necessarily only in the transgender treatment, transgender dysphoria treatment context, but in other cases, this court has specifically held that a categorical denial of care is not appropriate and is not constitutional. Here, the prison, certainly it is not constitutional to say you don't get to be considered for SRS despite the fact that we've had issues with your hormones. We're concerned about the hormones in this case. In fact, the prison officials' claims that they've had concerns about the hormonal treatment is a reason to consider SRS. If they're concerned about potential side effects and if they legitimately and truly believe that Ms. Hunley may not be an appropriate candidate for continuing on SRS, at least at the level that brings the benefits that are expected and hoped for under the standards of care, then SRS should certainly be considered. And just saying a prison can't basically opt out of the constitutional Eighth Amendment requirement by saying, hey, you know what, we've just decided that we don't provide that kind of care. They can't do that. And that's exactly what Nevada has done. They've claimed that their failure to provide it to anybody else and that their blanket policy is a reason she can't even talk to anybody about the potential need for SRS.
Counsel, I have another question. If I'm using up too much of your time, I'll ask Judge Watford to please give you some extra time.
Thank you.
My question is this. There was a claim that she was denied female undergarments and that had previously, I thought it was previously approved. And so my question is, where in the record, could you cite in the record to where it shows that the prison had approved female undergarments for her?
I don't have the exact page, Your Honor, but she does allege that Cheryl Foster, I believe a warden at one of the facilities, previously allowed her. Further, the Nevada Department of Corrections, actually a result of prior litigation that I was involved with the Department of Corrections, agreed to change a policy that previously always refused to allow any female undergarments or other or grooming items to transgender prisoners. And they did change that policy. And what Ms. Hunley alleges is that she was receiving them. I believe they get their undergarments every 6 months. And for one of the 6 months provisions, an NDOC official denied it based on his own prejudice and made very discriminatory comments. And I want to be clear about something. In terms of equal protection, the defendants claim that there was no equal protection violation because she's being treated like all the other prisoners in a male prison. That argument is like saying a gay marriage ban does not discriminate against gay people because everybody can marry people of the opposite sex. So here, the point is that cisgender people are able to obtain appropriate undergarments. And for a 6 month period, defendants make much ado of the fact that this was just once, but this was a 6 month period. Further,
and counsel, just for clarity, the citation in the First Amendment amended complaint begins at ER 65, where this is set out.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. I'd like to save a little bit of time for rebuttal, unless Judge Gould, you had further questions on the equal protection claim.
No, on the equal protection, at least as I'm understanding your argument, it's that a transgender woman is denied the garments, whereas a cisgender woman would be given them.
Correct. And the cisgender male prisoners get undergarments that are appropriate for their gender. Ms. Hunley did not get, for a six-month period, based on her allegations, Ms. Hunley did not get the appropriate undergarments for her gender.
Okay, what I'm going to do is ask Judge Watford if he could please add an extra minute for appellant's rebuttal time to make up for all the questioning I did.
Of course. I'll certainly do that. All right, thank you.
I'll take the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, very good. Let's hear from counsel for the defendants.
May it please the court, counsel Jeffrey Connor from the Nevada Attorney General's office. I think there's actually a very practical way to resolve this. And that's that having looked at this case very closely, I don't have much disagreement with opposing counsel that a remand here to allow Ms. Hundley to file an amended complaint is probably the appropriate remedy here. I don't necessarily agree that all of her claims state valid claims for relief, though I do think that at least maybe not with the inclusion of claim four, that the rest of the claims are something that probably could be saved by amendment. And with Ms. McClatchy's involvement in the case now, assisting Ms. Hundley in preparing an amended complaint, I think that, you know, this court maybe has two options here, which would be to remand with instructions to either allow Ms. Hundley to file a motion for leave to file a second amended complaint that prepares a proposed amended complaint for the district court to review. Or the alternative would, you know, if the court thinks that such a motion is unnecessary, that this case could be sent back with an opportunity for Ms. Hundley to file an amended complaint with the assistance of counsel. I am prepared to discuss each of the claims in the complaint if the court is willing to do so or would like that. But I think this really could be as simple as the court issuing an order that simply says, we don't need to decide which claims do and don't state a claim for relief, that we do. We have looked at this and think that at least some of the claims could have been saved by amendment, and that it would be appropriate to give counsel an opportunity to file an amended complaint here to assist Ms. Hundley in raising her claims.
Well, can I jump in? I appreciate that suggestion. That what you described is certainly my view as to most of the claims. Now, you carved out, I think, claim four, and I don't know the
correct
claim numbers. And which claim is that?
It's the undergarments claim.
Ah, okay. So you...
No, claim four is the First Amendment retaliation.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay, but and anyway, it seems to me what you've proposed is perfectly reasonable, and it's kind of where I was leaning. But I did have one question, I think, about the Eighth Amendment claim relating to the request for surgery. It seemed to me that we could do more than just say as to that claim that leave to amend should be granted, because I think Ms. Hundley is alleging a blanket ban, or again, at least that's the allegation. I don't know if that's the reality on the ground. And I thought we had pretty clearly held already in a number of cases, the cases that your opponent mentioned as well as Rosati, that kind of blanket ban is absolutely not permitted. And so at the very least, Ms. Hundley would be entitled to be evaluated to see whether surgery is necessary. So maybe that's the only claim I thought for sure could go forward. And you sounds like maybe you disagree even with that.
I think this case is pretty close to Rosati. I'm not willing to concede that it's directly in on point with Rosati, because I think the circumstances of that case are a little bit different. With respect to whether or not a blanket policy violates the Constitution or not, you know, there still has to be a showing of some sort of harm. I do recognize that part of the analysis in Rosati was a recognition that the absence of an opportunity for an appropriate evaluation deprived Ms. Rosati of being able to appropriately raise that claim. But I think that the factual circumstances of why the inmate in that case was saying that sexual reassignment surgery was rose to the level of an Eighth Amendment violation is different than the factual circumstances of this case. And so I'm not certain that there isn't a factual distinction, but between here and Rosati, that the facts here might not rise to the level of an Eighth Amendment violation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, Judge Gould, do you have further questions for counsel for the state?
Well, I guess if I could ask sort of a global question here, just counsel, if counsel correct me if I'm wrong, but why shouldn't we reverse in part as to the blanket ban and as to the denial of equal protection and vacate and remand in part as to the failure to permit amendment of the complaint with instructions to permit an amended complaint? Affirm in part to the extent there was a claim against the defendants in their for damages in their official capacity.
So I think, Your Honor, just first with the respect to the blanket policy, I think that comes back to my prior answer here, which is that I think there may be some factual differences here where there hasn't been a sufficient showing of harm resulting from the blanket policy. And so I think that this may be a distinction here between this case and those other cases where there's not enough there to show that the blanket policy is actually harming Ms. Hundley. Claim three, which is the undergarment claim, I'm pretty hard pressed to see why that doesn't at least state a claim that's sufficient to survive screening. What will come of that claim beyond that point, I don't know, but I think there's probably enough there for that claim to have survived screening.
And on the amendment, you agree they should be able to file an amended complaint as to claims that were not ruled upon?
Correct. I mean, I think that they should be allowed to file an amended complaint. There may be issues with a statute of limitations or relation back, those sorts of things, if they try to raise claims beyond what was raised in the original complaint. I'm not, certainly not waiving any defenses on the part of the defendants who here haven't even been served with the complaint yet. But do recognize that I think, Ms. McClatchy is an excellent attorney, and I think she'll do a great job of working with her client to identify the claims that she thinks give her client the best chance of success, and then, the case will go from there.
And then, counsel, would you agree we could affirm in part as to the claim for damages against officials in their official capacity?
I think that's correct, Your Honor, yes.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. There's time for rebuttal. I don't know if you'll need that extra minute, but you certainly have it if you do.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. So with regard to the defendant's arguments with regard to the severity, I understand that there may not be the same kind of detail as was in the Rosati case, which I should have mentioned in response to Judge Gould's question earlier about the best case on point. But, with regard to the severity, Ms. Hundley has already been diagnosed not just with gender dysphoria, but with severe gender dysphoria. And the WCAP standards, which are at 129 of the excerpt of records, says that sex reassignment is effective and medically indicated in severe GID. I understand that it's not necessary or appropriate in every single case, even with severe GID, but it should be considered. So I don't think we need to go back through screening, certainly, on whether her claims are severe. I am pleased by the defendant's suggestion that we be, that now that Ms. Hundley has counsel, that we be able to amend the complaint. I believe what's important, though, is not just remanding so that the district court again screens a further amended complaint and this case sits there again for another potentially year and almost a half, but rather this case should get out of screening. I believe that the claims are sufficiently good enough, in my view, for a pro se plaintiff to pass screening. She now, Ms. Hundley, again, now has counsel, and I'll be happy to file an amendment.
Okay, very good. Thank you both for your arguments. The case just argued is submitted.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll turn to the last case.